Next thing, I would give you an orgasm right now. I splash him and float in the huge tub, my whole body aching and my pussy and ass sore, but it was worth it. He steps back and pushes his hair away from his face before shedding his shirt and trousers. Naked, he lets me drink in his body, my tender pussy fluttering at the masterpiece that is Kenzo. But neither of us act on the attraction, even though his cock is hard. He slips into the bath and pulls me into his arms, holding me from behind as I float with his knees on either side of me. He lathers up his hands and starts to wash me carefully. Why are you so nice to me? When I first got here, the others hated me, even though they brought me here, but you were still nice. He ums. I saw in your eyes, like I said, the same goes to we, Gary. Honestly, we needed someone to come here and shake us up. We were just functioning, barely a family anymore. The business and money were taking its toll, and we were all becoming cold. Ryder too serious, Diesel too wild, Garrett too angry and withdrawn. And you? I prompt, as he cleans my pussy, making me gasp. Too wandering. I kept going further and further, but you bring me home, Roxy. You bring us all back and remind us why we started this. Love and family. He whispers before kissing my shoulder. Never stop being you, even when you're angry. You push them to be more. You question things they had stopped questioning, yet you don't blink at death. You can play with Diesel, but talk shop with Ryder. You don't understand how rare that is. I sigh. I'm not rare. I'm just as messed up as you guys. Exactly, he laughs. You meet all messed up with your own. You are this tiny little thing, yet you can take us down and give a shit. It's fucking hot, even when you tell us you hate us. I do hate you, I mutter. Sure, he chuckles. Just don't make Diesel angry, okay? Wait, I sputter, yelping as I try to turn and almost drown, so I give up. This hasn't been Diesel angry. He laughs, pulling me closer and holding me up. Nope. You don't want to see it. It's fucking terrifying, and I don't think even you could bring him back. We just sit in the water, and I almost fall asleep, it's so relaxing. He kisses me and drains the tub, helping me out. I'm so drowsy and tired from the warm water, I don't even protest when Kenzo dries me off, carries me into the other room, and sits me on the bed. Kenzo slathers me in cream to help with the welts before kissing each one better. Then he pulls me into his arms, bending his body around me until his knees are bent in with mine and we're curled together. I fall asleep like that, but it must only be for a short time, because when I wake, I barely feel rested, but I can at least function now. I'll let you get dressed. We have a surprise for you. Come out when you're ready, he murmurs, kissing my cheek before slipping from bed. Flipping onto my back, I yawn and stretch, wincing at the soreness between my legs and on my back. Even after Kenzo looked after it, they still hurt, but oh well. Surprise. I wonder what it is. It's what gets me moving, and I pad over to my clothes, throwing on Kenzo's discarded shirt and nothing else before heading to find out. It better be good, like food or a gun. I pretty much have to waddle to the living room, which is honestly not attractive, but whatever. When I get there, Kenzo looks really excited, and even Ryder isn't on his phone. Garrett offers me a small smile, a truce, and Diesel is... Well, Diesel is bouncing up and down on the sofa, waiting. I need coffee, I grumble and point at Diesel. Coffee, now. All three jerk their heads to Diesel and jump forward like they expect him to explode or something, but he simply laughs and rolls over the back of the sofa. Sure thing, little bird. I look at the others to see Ryder smirking. I would say we need to do what you do to get him to behave, but, well, we all saw what he did to you, and I can't say I'm too interested. Rolling my eyes, I throw myself down in his spot. I bet I could make you, I taunt, and he laughs. Probably, but still, wield your new power over him carefully, he warns and leans closer. Don't take advantage. He's teasing, but there is a hint of caution there. I'm not going to make him my own personal assassin, or you guys would be fucked. I just want coffee. And food. Maybe orgasms, I shrug. Ryder grins at me, flashing white teeth.
I'm sure I can help with that, he murmurs seductively, his eyes glancing down at my lips and tits which are pressed against Kenzo's white shirt and leaving nothing to the imagination.
I gulp loudly, clenching my aching thighs together. My pussy literally took a beating, but it still throbs at his words. Hooker? He grins, swiping his finger over my exposed collarbone, making me shiver. But all he does is push a strand of air behind my ear before looking away. Dear fucking God, these guys are not good for my pussy. All they have to do is look at me with those mean eyes and I melt. Diesel slips in behind me on the sofa, jostling me forward as his legs go to either side of me. His chest is still bare, and my sewing work is hidden behind white gauze. He wraps an arm around my waist and drags me back until I'm locked between his thighs. With his other hand, he offers me a steaming cup of coffee. Groaning, I take it and burn my mouth as I take a sip. Worth it. My stomach growls then, and he laughs as he kisses my cheek.
Presents first, food after.
Presents? I perk up. Is it a new bat? Garrett laughs.
Told you,
Kenzo grumbles, and hands some money over to him, which he pockets before winking at me. Damn. This truce thing is really working.
No, no bats, I'm afraid, darling,
Kenzo tells me, leaning forward to meet my gaze.
We wanted to show you that we can be more than, well, mobsters. This is all for you. Whatever you don't like, we can take back, and we can get whatever you need.
He scrubs the back of his head.
I know we started off awkwardly, but your happiness is important to us.
I look over at the bags and boxes on the table I didn't notice before. There are so many they spill onto the floor. What the? When did you even get all this?
Earlier, Ryder and I went shopping.
Kenzo laughs. I look at Ryder, who only sighs.
He made me.
You don't have to buy me shit, I grumble. It chafes me. I like to buy my own way in life. This feels like I'll owe them something after.
Ryder leans over, uncaring that I'm wrapped in Diesel's embrace, and grabs my chin hard, making me look at him.
No strings, no expectations. This is just something nice, and I know that's hard to understand. I still struggle, but we did it because we care. Accept that, love.
Fuck. How did he know?
Because Ryder knows everything, and he's made it his business to learn everything about me.
That fucking man.
He smirks like he knows my thoughts and leans down, licking my lips before humming, coffee. He pulls away, leaving me breathless and slightly wet.
Asshole.
Okay, no strings. Normal people can accept gifts. You can do this.
Seriously, I hope you didn't spend a lot, I murmur, and my eyes widen when I spot the Cartier box.
Diesel laughs when I try to run away, wrapping his legs around me until I have a psychotic human koala draped around me, keeping me still. Ryder plucks a coffee from my hand before I spill it and, with his eyes on me as I struggle, places those lips where mine were and downs it.
Motherfucker, I hiss. You owe me more coffee.
I'll make it up to you.
He winks and grabs a box, a small one, and thrusts it at me. He suddenly seems nervous, which isn't a word I would normally use to describe Ryder.
Here, this is one I picked.
Unable to escape, I sigh and accept the box, flipping over the lid. Inside, nestled in silk, is a necklace.
It's fucking stunning.
It's a thick golden coil, a choker, with a snake head at one end and the tail at the other. Scales cover the gold surface, and the eyes are bright red rubies.
It's breathtaking. And no doubt expensive.
Two parts of me chafe. One that expects strings to come with this, and the other that wants to be mad. I'm not something they can buy with jewels. I don't want their fucking money.
Kenzo leans forward. Darling, accept this. We plan to spoil you a lot.
Why? I demand, clutching the box, angry now.
He shrugs.
Because we can. Because we all know where you came from, and most of us came from there too. You should have nice things. You should be spoiled with jewels and gifts that hardly compare to your beauty. Get used to it, it's happening. But, I start, but Ryder narrows his eyes.
Just say thank you. We don't want anything in return. Well, maybe don't kick Garrett in the family jewels again.
The money.
We have a fucking ton, more than we could ever fucking need, so accept the damn gifts or you'll hurt their feelings. The stupid assholes never do anything for someone else, so don't turn this around now.
Garrett snaps. Well, shit. Sighing, I gather my courage, knowing this is my issue to deal with. I decide to go all in with them, to give up fighting every little thing. This is my issue with money and presents, not theirs. Garrett's right. I'm sorry, I whisper, before looking at Ryder and Kenzo, who appear deflated. Ryder is grinding his teeth. Thank you. I've never had a present before, and I guess I didn't know how to respond.
Never?
Garrett rumbles. I shake my head, reaching out and stroking the snake. Never. We didn't celebrate any holidays or my birthday as a kid, so as an adult, I shrug. It never happened.
Fucking assholes, Garrett grumbles as Diesel pulls me closer. When is your birthday?
Kenzo demands. May, I think. I sigh and Ryder looks at me quizzically. They never told me exactly.
His eyes narrow, his fists clenching. I will find out.
Diesel kisses me again.
I never had presents before these guys either, but look at them. Look at how happy they are. You've given them a purpose. They have all this money and no one to spend it on, so let them spoil you, little bird. It's as much for them as it is for you. Their father used his money like a weapon, another thing to ward. So this is good for them, showing them it can do something other to make you powerful.
He's right. Kenzo is smiling widely, and even Ryder is relaxed and seems happy. It's beautiful. I'm seeing a pattern, though. I laugh, and Kenzo reaches out and passes me another two boxes. Carefully shutting the necklaces box, I look around for a place to put it when Ryder's hand curls over mine and extracts it, his sad, dark eyes meeting mine.
Thank you,
he whispers, and I follow his gaze to Kenzo. There's a story there, that's for sure, but not one for right now. I nod and he passes me the next two. I open them cautiously, not even shocked at the jewels inside. Just how rich are these guys? In one box is a belly charm with a dangling gold snake which makes me laugh. In the other is a ring that has me gasping. It's black and large, set in a gold setting that has fangs gripping the jewel. They are. I shake my head. Amazing, I whisper.
I guess this makes up for all the birthday, Christmas, and everything else you ever missed,
Diesel laughs.
Not yet. That will take at least another 3 more hauls,
Kenzo adds with a grin. Fuck, 3?
Give her the next one,
Kenzo insists excitedly, and before I get the chance to gape at the jewelry, they are taking them away and a new box is placed in my hand. I open it carefully, almost shaking my head at the bauble inside. Another ring, like the first, but red this time. There are 4 more pieces of jewelry, climbing snake earrings, an ankle bracelet, and a headpiece. I feel overwhelmed, and they must realize it, because Ryder calls a break for coffee. I snuggle back into Diesel's arms, letting him hold me as I try to process all of this. It feels like a dream. Kenzo shifts closer while Ryder is gone and grabs my hand.
I'm sorry if this is too much. I just wanted to spoil you, he offers,
and seems suddenly gloomy. So I remember Ryder's look and force a smile to my face. It is a lot, honestly, and it feels like it's happening to someone else, but thank you. It means so much to me, I tell him. And then, being brave, I lean forward and kiss him. He moans against my lips, and as I pull back, he seems to perk up. He glances over at Garrett before sliding to the floor and sorting through the remaining boxes and bags. Ryder returns and passes me a mug, which I blow on this time, waiting for it to cool. He sits next to me, close enough to whisper so no one else, well, apart from my koala, can hear.
My father never bought my mum a present, not once. If he ever got us something, it was because he expected something in return. It always came with strings. Kenzo used to love Christmas, opening the presents from our mum, but my father would tally up each one in his head. You could see it hurt our mother. She was so quiet, a frail, weak woman, even if she loved us greatly. Eventually, Christmas stopped, but Kenzo used to find a way to get her a present every year. He earned his own money and would buy her something, sneaking it to her when my dad wasn't looking. He thought it would make her happy. It was how he showed her he loved her, right until she died.
I look at him, searching his eyes. He said it coldly, like it didn't happen to him, too. Is that ice hiding his true feelings again? I think so, so I reach out and run my finger across his jaw. That must have been hard on both of you. How did she die? He sucks in a breath, that ice melting slightly.
She killed herself. We came home from school one day to find her hanging in the hallway. I managed to stop Kenzo before he saw.
But you did, I whisper. He nods.
Kenzo was young. I got him outside and then I tried to save her. I heaved and pulled, trying to get her back over the balcony. But I was so small back then, I couldn't do it. I couldn't save her.
Rye, I whisper. It wasn't your job to save her. You were a kid. He shakes his head.
It was my job to protect them both, and I failed. I won't fail ever again.
I nod, now understanding why he is the way he is. Thank you for telling me. He shrugs, that ice coming back as he tries to move away to distance himself, a coping mechanism, so I grab his hand and link it with mine, not letting go as Kenzo excitedly hands me a small bag. Laughing, I open it with one hand, refusing to release Ryder's. He needs to feel this, to be here, to not lock it away and sit back, protecting us, but to enjoy this like Kenzo. He went through the same upbringing, and when he told that story, I felt his pain and how much he wished he could show his mother he loved her. He doesn't get to back away now. I will melt that ice one bit at a time. Inside the bag is a new top. The following gifts are a lot of new clothes, and when there are no more boxes or bags, I sigh in relief. As amazing as it was, I'm still struggling to accept it, but I'll deal with that. I'm juggling the bags one-handed with Ryder's hand still in mine. Fuck this. I clasp his hand tighter and press it to my breast. There, I mutter, as I manage to put down the bags with two hands. When I look up, they're all staring at me. What? I ask, and suddenly they all roar with laughter. Assholes, I grumble, as Ryder squeezes my breast. I look to him to see those cold eyes sparkling and his grin wide and unrestrained.
Never change, love.
Shut up. Now feed me, you kidnappers. I'm hungry. Ryder leans closer, grabs the back of my head and kisses my forehead, lingering there.
Of course, he murmurs,
before getting up and heading to the kitchen. Kenzo sweeps down, kisses me hard, and follows after him. I'm left with Diesel and Garrett, and suddenly Garrett looks uncomfortable, but he throws a box at me without looking.
Eh.
What's this? Did we miss one? I inquire, confused.
It's from me,
he mutters, rubbing at his head. I grin. From you?
It's an essential. I still hate you,
he snaps, making me laugh. Don't worry. I hate you too, I nod, and he smirks at me for a moment.
Open it,
he demands. I do as I'm told, and a huge grin covers my face. It's a gun, better than my old shitty one. No, this one is fancy, and carved into the side are the words Viper's Girl.
There is no ammo in it at the moment, he coughs.
Didn't want me to kill you, I grin. Accidentally, of course. I flutter my lashes at him and he barks out a laugh.
I need to make sure you know how to properly shoot it. I'll take you later.
He nods and I perk up. Hell yes. Will you teach me some of your fancy fighting moves too? I grin.
No,
he snaps, frowning.
You might use them on me.
Or I might use them on D. I grin and Diesel shivers.
Please do, little bird,
he murmurs.
You two are messed up.
Garrett rolls his eyes, but there's a smile on his lips. Viper's Girl, indeed. Ryder and Kenzo feed me enough to have me lying on the sofa, unable to move, and I end up napping there with my feet in Ryder's lap as he strokes my toes, his other hand on his phone. My head is in Kenzo's lap, and Diesel is lying on the floor next to me, his hand reaching up to grab mine. Garrett sits on the other sofa, but he doesn't leave, which is a plus. When I wake up, everyone but Garrett is gone. Stretching, I yawn and look around. Shit. How long was I out? Garrett glances up from the blade he's sharpening and puts it away, leaning back as he watches me.
A few hours. You needed it.
He gets to his feet and stretches, his shirt riding up to expose his abs, and I can't help but stare. He catches my ogling and must think I'm staring at his scars because he shuts down, his eyes darkening.
You ready to try your new gun?
He offers, but he seems distant now. Sure. I get up and slip my shoes on. Do we need to drive there? He grunts and heads out of the front door, so I follow after him, my new gun in tow. He heads to the elevator, not speaking to me the whole way down, and I know I need to rectify this shit before he goes back to hating me fully. But as I go to talk, the elevator door opens and he strides out. Sighing, I follow him, but I freeze when he leads me into what looks like a fucking shooting range. What the hell? What else are they hiding in this building? You have your own shooting range? I scoff. He shrugs as he sets up.
We have everything we need in the building. A gym, a restaurant, a shop. It's a self-sufficient tank.
I move his way and he drops earmuffs on my head.
Have you ever shot a gun before?
I nod. Once or twice, Rich taught me, but, well, nowhere like this. We shot in the forest.
Rich,
he echoes, peering down at me. He owned Roxas, I inform him, and then look away. My dad owed him some money, and I got a job there to clear his debt, but, well, I loved it, and Rich took me under his wing. When I left home, I had nowhere to go, so he gave me a home, a place to stay. He helped me. Rich was a good man.
What happened?
He asks softly. I gulp and stare at the gun. He died. I suck in a breath and look at him. So how do I do this? He shows me how to stand and the proper way to hold the gun before letting me fire off a few shots. He corrects my stance a few times before allowing me to continue firing until I'm grinning again. Stopping, I flick on the safety and take off my earmuffs, looking at him as he stands next to me. He avoids my gaze, though. Apart from talking about Rich, he still seems pissed about the staring. All right, then. Guess it's up to me to fix this. No way am I letting our truce break over a misunderstanding. You going to glare all night or fucking talk to me? I snap, cocking out my hip. He grinds his teeth but ignores me. Dude, get some balls. What's wrong? He snarls.
Sorry my scars disgust you, fucking princess. Time to go back upstairs.
Pressing the gun to his chin, I narrow my eyes. I don't give a fuck what you think about your scars, Garrett, but you will listen to me. I love them. They make me feel better about mine. Each one was earned, and it shows you survived something most of us wouldn't. When I see them, I'm reminded how strong you are, and honestly, they don't detract from your artness, but add to it. I was staring earlier at your fucking abs, okay? Wondering if it would be weird if I licked them. He freezes, his eyes wide.
What?
You saw what you wanted to see in my eyes. Disgust, because it would make it easier to keep pushing me away. I sigh. We have a truce, Garrett. So if you're mad at me, just talk to me, okay?
Did you love him?
He inquires, throwing me off. I must look as confused as I feel because he clarifies.
Rich.
I did. Not the way you're thinking, but like a father. It seems older men don't really do it for me. I prefer snarky assholes who kidnap me, I grin. He smirks then, pressing closer to the gun, our bodies almost touching, and it sends a spike of heat through me. I want Garrett. I even told him that, and he clearly wants me. But something is stopping him, holding him back. Knowing it's a stupid move, I open my mouth. What happened to your chest? He freezes, his eyes darkening and body hardening. He asked me,
and I told him about myself, so why can't he just trust me a little? He pulls away and turns.
Put the gun away. We'll go back before the others go.
So that's it? I get some snarled words, I bear my pain to you, and all I get is locked out? I snap. You don't get to do that to me. I'm not asking for anything but the past. He snarls and spins around, his body heaving. He looks massive right now.
You're asking too much, he yells. My pain is my own. I didn't ask for yours, nor do I want it. You might have the others, but you will never have me.
Fuck you, I shout. You can't try to cut down people's walls and get into their heart without showing yours. That's not how it fucking works, you asshole.
Who said I want it in your heart?
He murmurs, leaning his head down, his voice cruel.
I don't even want in your knickers. You're trying to mistake lust for love, love,
he mocks.
As soon as they're bored of you, they will toss you aside like all the others.
I jerk back at that. Is he right? Fine, they might. I can manage on my own. But until then, I'm here. I'm one of you.
You will never be one of us. Just because you open your legs, it doesn't make you equal,
he roars, and I actually fall back from the venom in his tone. This ain't Garrett anymore. This is a wild animal lashing out at everyone and everything because he's scared. Scared I was getting too close. Scared to get hurt.
You are nothing more than a debt.
I hate you, I hiss.
I hate you too,
he snarls. And without another word, he storms off, leaving me there wondering if everything he said is true. I stare after him before turning and grabbing the earmuffs, taking my anger out on the target. I fire again and again until I'm panting and filled with more questions and answers. Leaning against the wood partition, I hang my head. I shouldn't have pushed him. He wasn't ready. But the shit he said. Is he right?
Don't you dare let him get in your head. Garrett is many things. A fighter, a killer, and yes, an asshole. But he's not right. Not this time.
Ryder murmurs, and I feel him press against my back. He heard all that. I didn't even hear him come in.
He's scared, love. Scared that you are one of us, that you fit so easily. Scared what that means to him, and he lashes out. He didn't mean what he said, and you know you are more than a quick lay.
Do I? I ask, brave since I'm not looking into those icy eyes.
Yes,
he snaps, gripping my hips and turning me. His chest presses to mine as he backs me into the wall and traps me there, lowering his head until he's in my face.
You think we let just anyone into our home, into our lives? Trust them with our secrets? There have been women, but we have never, nor ever, let them inside our circle. You? You're right in the middle of it, Roxanne. If I wanted a quick lay, I would go out and get one, but I don't.
Then what do you want? I query.
You. And all the attitude that comes with you. Even when you hate us. Even when you attack us.
He smirks.
Even when you're a brat, I want you, princess. So don't let him make you question that. Keep pushing. You're going to have to be stronger than you have ever been to get through to him.
Why do you want me to? I question, searching his eyes.
Because I'm realizing it's all of us or none of us. I know Garrett wants you, wants what we're building. But he doesn't know how. His past is blinding him to what's right in front of him. Rip open that wound, drag him out kicking and screaming, and make him yours the same way you have everyone else.
Like you? I ask, our lips almost touching.
Like me.
He grins against my mouth.
Don't think you can start ordering me around, though, love, or I'll remind you exactly what happens.
His eyes heat and I shiver. He chuckles and pulls me closer, kissing me softly.
Come on, let's head back before Dee gets worried and hunts you down. He's worse than a rabid dog.
Laughing, I follow after him, feeling better. He's right. I've let Garrett hide long enough. I might be a debt, but this debt? She conquered the Vipers. She survived Diesel. She won Kenzo, and she sure as fuck ordered Ryder around. He will be mine.
30. Ryder. It's my turn to stay home with Roxanne. I don't think she will try to escape anymore, but I don't feel right leaving her alone while the Triad is clearly wanting to kill us. Plus, I have some research to do. Diesel is out hunting down paid thugs with Garrett, reminding them who we are. We might not be able to get to the Triad yet, but we can cut off their supply until they become desperate. Kenzo is with his guards, checking in on the rest of our businesses to make sure they don't feel like they can't trust us anymore. I am, of course, responding to legitimate business emails and Skype conferences. It's hard to run an empire. We still have to do actual business in the city, and for that we're technically an investor and architecture company with many different sections that need overseeing. Not to mention the board, who needs constant updating. It gets exhausting. I keep my eyes on updates from the guys as well, so before I know it, it's almost midday and I haven't seen Roxy at all. Is she okay? I pull myself away from the screen and head out to find her. I find her sitting outside near the pool in some lace knickers and a bra, her hair pulled back and face tipped up to the sun. Fuck, did we not buy her any swimming wear? I make a mental note even as I run my eyes across her curvy body. Turning away and ignoring my cock, I go to the kitchen and make her a coffee and me a tea. By the time I'm done, she's heading inside in a long shirt, making me frown. I wonder if I could convince her to walk around naked. Not that I would get any work done then. In fact, I should be preparing for another meeting, researching the new manager. Fuck! She smiles at me and heads over, hopping onto a stool opposite me, the loose shirt gaping and showing me breasts glistening with pool water. I watch the droplets, pondering if I could get away with licking them clean. She clears her throat, and my eyes run up her throat to meet her gaze, which is laughing at me. Morning. Kenzo said you were working, so I didn't want to disturb you. Passing her the coffee, I lean back against the counter, mentally counting to stop myself from throwing her on the counter and fucking her. Work, Ryder, you have work to do. You have that meeting. You also need to check in on her dad. Make sure Kenzo is okay and that Diesel isn't... Do you ever relax? She asks, tilting her head as she watches me. I can see your mind working every minute of every day. Do you ever just stop? Arching my eyebrow, I sip my tea. No, I don't have time. She snorts. Fine time. If you're not careful, you will think yourself into an early grave. Life is so amazing, Ryder. Look around you. Look at where you are, what you have at your feet. Do you ever enjoy it or just keep on climbing higher? When would it ever be enough? Her eyes search mine knowingly. It isn't about the money. It's about keeping my family safe. Giving Diesel a place where he can be himself. And providing Garrett with a home to retreat to and be protected, I murmur. And Kenzo? She prompts. He needs a family. People to care for and love, I shrug. And you? She presses with a smile. Me? I repeat. Yes, right, you. What do you need? She inquires. I hesitate and she smiles wider. I don't think you have ever thought about that, have you? Too busy being a best and giving them everything they ever wanted and needed that you never thought about what you wanted. I want them, my brothers. I want their happiness and safety. I shrug. She nods. I know. I got to ask, though, how did you meet them? Kenzo is my brother. We met Garrett at one of his fights when he was a professional. We stayed in contact, and when he went underground to earn more money, we started working with him. We ran into Diesel one night when he was chasing someone. He was working as a hired assassin back then, the thing he was good at. But I could see how lost he was in his eyes. It brought us all together. We had the money, our father's money, and we had plans. Plans that needed more than us, and we just found them one day and became family. Been inseparable ever since, I explain. She sips her coffee, moaning, and I shift to adjust my hard cock.
Is Viper your real last name?
I laugh then, I can't help it. No, we took it after my father died. We never wanted his name, nor to have any of our success resting on his surname. We took Viper because when you back a snake into a corner, they are more dangerous than anything. We'd all been backed into those corners, by family, by grief, by money. We were all Vipers. And now you are too.
Me?
She scoffs, shifting, making her shirt gape further. You were backed into a corner and came out stronger. This might not be the life you imagine, but you're making it work. You're using what you have. You are smart and strong. You're a viper, I insist, leaning towards her, pressing my knuckles to the counter. She perks up then, almost laughing. He sure is shit better than my father's name, the rat bastard. Didn't you change yours to Rich's last name, the man who owned the bar? I ask, genuinely curious. Since there is only so much you can learn online and from rumours.
I was researching her. Yeah, I did. I did it for his birthday, though it worked for me as well. A final cut-off from my family who did nothing but hurt me. But not him.
She seems sad now, so I reach across and cover her hand. She stares down at it, probably unused to comfort, but she doesn't pull away.
I suppose you know he died.
I nod and she sighs.
He was a good man, a very good man. He did some bad things in his past, but that never bothered me. My father has a clean record, always seen as charming to others. Yet he was a monster. Rich was seen as a monster, but he cared for me more than anyone ever had. He helped me study and finish school, start a life, and have a job and a roof over my head where I could sleep without wondering.
Wondering? I prompt.
Wondering if I would be woken up by mean hands.
She shrugs, unashamed. He beat you. I already knew this. My father did too. I don't know why I'm telling her this, other than the pain in her eyes as they level on me, the embarrassment and anger there calls to me. It makes me want to tell her, to help her understand that we aren't so different. I need something stronger for this talk, though, so I turn around and pour us both two fingers of scotch and pass it over. I toss mine back and lean against the worktop, steadying myself by gripping the counter hard. She waits patiently, rolling the glass around in her hands. He was a bastard, but I'm guessing you know that by now. He was rich, powerful, and charming. Everyone loved him and wanted to be him. He made his millions by tearing down weaker people and stepping on them. But at home? He was even worse. He was fucking evil. He hated us, especially Kenzo. He thought him weak because he loved, because he laughed. I had to protect my brother. I know he hit him sometimes when I couldn't save him, but for the most part I took every blow, every whip, every beating. I stepped between him and my mother, not that it made her love us more. Kenzo always hoped she would take us and leave him, but I knew better. She was weak. Which is horrible to say because I did love her, but she was weak. She needed his money to survive, and she would never leave him out of fear, not even to protect us.
Ryder,
she shakes her head and I smile sadly. It is okay, Roxanne. It's in the past. I'm telling you this because I want you to know it doesn't matter where you come from the dumps or skyscrapers. Evil is still evil. We might have bled onto marble floors, but we still bled, and if I could go back, I would do it all again. I would take every thrashing stoically.
Why?
She queries, frowning. I look around. To be here with my family. I paid a high price, but now it's all worth it. I'm surrounded by the best brothers, even when I forget sometimes, lost in the numbers and business. I have everything I always wanted.
Always?
She mumbles, and I regard her then.
Always,
I whisper, meaning her as well. The love of a good woman, one strong enough to survive us, to survive me and the monster my father created in me. Placing the teacup aside, I feel the desire to reach for her, but I don't know how. I'm not as loving as Kenzo. I've never even had a relationship. My father ruined it for me with the way he treated my mother. I think the only reason I'm letting Roxanne so close is because I have no choice. She started as a business deal, one I couldn't avoid, and now I can't get her out of my head or my cold heart. But she gathers that bravery again, slips from the stool and marches around the counter, only stopping when she's in my arms. I wrap them tightly around her, wondering how I'll get her to stay here forever. All thoughts of business fade from my mind as those grinning eyes peer up at me. How such a small person can hold such strength astounds me. She could have let her abuse and her father break her. She could have stopped fighting. She could have stopped even when we stole her, given in and withered away. Instead, she thrives. Teasel is right. Roxanne lives for danger, for stress and dark times. It's when she is most herself. I wonder if she knows that. It's probably why she decided to run Rox's, to feel that hit every night. The one Diesel finds in flames, Kenzo in gambling, Garrett in fighting, and me in deals, in winning and manipulating people. But I'm the one being manipulated here, and I don't think she even realizes it. Reaching up, I cup her face, searching those eyes that hold me prisoner. If only my enemies knew that to get us all, to kill us, all they would need to do was take her. Hurt her. It would destroy us. When the Vipers do something, we do it hard, and Roxanne? She hasn't been here but a week, yet she is already intertwined with us, so essential to our lives. She has changed us, made us love and made us angry. Yet here, with her in my arms, is where I finally take a deep breath, my hand shaking against her cheek in fear. What if I am too like my father? What if I hurt her? You are the only one who ever gets to see my hands shake, love, I murmur, and she smirks.
Good. Don't let them see it.
She nods, playing the game as well as we.
And no, I don't think you will hurt me.
I blink in astonishment and she laughs.
You're not the only one who can read people, arsehole.
I laugh then and she leans into my hand.
You are not your father, I see that worry. You're so scared you will become him that you haven't noticed you aren't being yourself either. Stop fighting it, that inferno inside, use it. The anger he made, I have the same kind.
We are two different sides of a coin. You try to bury it, I let it build me. Neither is right or wrong, but I know, Ryder, I know you will never hurt me, not physically, I know it.
You might with words. You might try to push me away or pretend you don't want me for the same reason I do, but no, you will never hurt me.
How do you know? I question, truly wondering. I don't even know myself. Doesn't my control, my need for her utter submission, mean one day I might take it too far and hurt her?
Because we have both seen what that does to people, and the idea of doing it to someone else would never cross our minds. Plus, I would never let you. I might not be as strong as you guys or have the money, but I'm a fighter, like you said. Survive that way. You will never hurt me because I will never let you. I would kill you, kick your fucking asses if you tried. Diesel might cut my skin or fill me with pain, but it's my choice. I want that, and I refuse to be ashamed by it. But I also want Kenzo's smile and soft teasing, and your ice and fire.
And Garrett? I have to ask. She's right, she's too strong, not like my mother. She would never let us hurt her. She would kill us first. That thought settles me, and I actually sink into her and relax.
I want him too, she admits. I even told him that, but we're taking it slow. I won't ask what happened again. He'll tell me when he's ready, and I hope one day we can work through it.
That sounds like the words of someone who plans on staying. I tease, and she sighs.
Do I have a choice?
She winks. But I sense real truth in those words, and it makes me harden. Does she? Would I, we, let her go even if she didn't come back? What I told her was true. She started as a deal, one we planned to use and dispose of. But she's here now, in us, one of us. But how can she truly be one of us if it isn't her choice? We all chose this life, but she was forced into it. The very same way that I was by my father.
Ryder.
She starts and I wait, but she bites her lip, probably realizing the same thing. There is nothing she can say that wouldn't be a lie. Yes, she wants us, but how much? Is it because she's making the most of a bad situation, or does she actually want us? I'd better get back to work, I murmur, before leaning down and kissing her softly, wishing I knew. I pull away and turn, feeling her staring after me, and I stop at the door. Your birthday is May 7th. You were born at 8:55 a.m, I offer, and she sucks in a breath.
Thank you, Ryder.
I nod and leave, unable to stay any longer, my thoughts spiralling with worry. I need to speak to my brothers. We have a choice to make. We can keep her, force her to stay, and she might not even hate us for it. But she will never love us, not like we want. How can you love someone who takes away your freedom? I don't know, but I also don't know if we could let her walk away now. Not just because of what she saw and knows, but because the others are attached. I'm attached. In the afternoon, I lose myself in work, trying to avoid the questions swirling around my head until Garrett rings me. Picking up the phone, I hit the green button and lean back in my chair. Speak. Well, we have cleared the city. The only people who will be taking the bounty are out-of-towners are people hired directly by the Triad. Garrett rumbles into the phone. Good. Did we figure out anything about the leak? I inquire, and Diesel snorts.
They won't let me play with them,
he whines, making me grin. We're going to head out again tomorrow and get back on it. We cleared a few names. Simply threatening their families and their lives was enough. They didn't betray us.
But someone did,
I snap, and then sigh, drumming my fingers on the table as I think.
It has to be someone who worked here. They wouldn't know anything otherwise. Keep looking.
Sure, Garrett grunts, and then he goes quiet, but he doesn't hang up. My eyebrow arches in surprise. Garrett isn't usually chatty. What's up? I ask, and I hear rambling down the phone before he sighs loudly. Diesel would like to know if Roxy is okay, he queries, sounding pained. I smile but manage to hold back my laugh. I'm betting it's more than just Diesel, but I'll let him use D as an excuse. She was fine last time I checked, though I think she's bored. You were right, we will need to give her a job at some point. You don't sound sure, Garrett observes. Tonight, when you all get back, we need to talk, is all I say before hanging up. I can't decide anything without them. That's not how it works. We all say yes, or we don't do it. And this is about Roxy's freedom. I'm unsure if Diesel would even let her go at this point, but I have to know. Dropping my phone onto the desk, I loosen my tie and close my eyes for a moment. There's always so much to do. Is Roxanne right? Do I not know how to relax? I hear a creak as the door opens, but don't open my eyes. It's her, I know it. Anyone else would knock, too scared not to. Only my girl would be brazen enough to stroll into my office, which she somehow found. She must have bribed one of the guards again. Yes, I ask, and she laughs. When I open my eyes, she's lounging on the chair opposite my desk. I'm bored, can I help? She requests, her bare feet waggling. She is in nothing but that shirt still. You want to help? I question, arching a brow. She sits up and stands, and I watch her carefully as she rounds the desk. She kicks back my chair and hops up on the desk right in front of me, kicking her legs as she grins. Yep. So who needs killing?
We do more than that, I laugh. We actually run businesses, invest in people, build buildings and renovate struggling areas. We run homeless shelters and soup kitchens. We help with charities.
She waves that away.
I get it, you have your fingers in everything.
Not everything. Yet, I murmur, running my eyes across her parted thighs, which allow me to see her knickers.
Smooth,
she teases. Narrowing my eyes on her, I point at the floor.
On your knees, love.
She smirks and sinks down without question. Roxanne might like to be in control, but with me she loves it when I control her. In fact, I'm betting if I reached into those little knickers, she would be soaked. Shirt off, I order, leaning back and watching her. My cock hardens in my trousers as she rips it off and throws it away. Her breasts are bare except for that little scrap of lace. Off, I command.
Is?
She purrs silkily before caressing the swells of her breasts. Now, I demand. Grinning, she unclasps the bra before slowly sliding the straps down each arm, holding it against her until I clench my fists. And then, with a laugh, she pulls it free, baring her magnificent breasts to me, her nipples turning into stiff peaks as I watch. Her hands reach my thighs and stroke upward, coming dangerously close to my cock, which is pressing tightly against my trousers. Free me, I demand. She teases me again, knowing she will get into trouble for it. She wants it. Her hand strokes across my cock, not doing as she was told. Now, I snap. Then you will suck me for not doing as you were ordered fast enough.
Yes, sir,
she murmurs, before freeing my cock and taking it into her hand. Silver hair tumbles over her shoulder, which she tosses away expertly, as those dark eyes meet mine as she closes her mouth around the head of my cock and hums. Groaning, I watch her as she lashes her tongue over my slit, digging for my pre-cum before pulling back, her hand wrapped around my base, squeezing. She licks her lips.
Delicious.
Grabbing her hair, I tug her closer without a word.
and she swallows me down, taking me nearly all the way before putting back and then rolling her eyes to mine once again before consuming me whole. I grunt loudly, jerking in her mouth as I reach the back of her throat. Fuck, fuck, fuck! She pulls away, dragging her teeth along the underside of my cock before slipping back down, bobbing until I'm almost spilling in her mouth. My phone rings, making me groan, and she pulls from my cock with a smirk, licking her lips teasingly.
Answer it, she purrs, voice hoarse. Let's see that icy control now, love.
She waits, and I grind my teeth, but reach for my phone, not looking as I hit answer, my eyes on her. Help! I cut off in a gasp as she swallows me again.
Mr. Viper, sorry, is this a bad time?
A scared, weaselly voice asks. Who is this? I snap, thrusting up to meet her mouth, trying to contain my desire as that ice melts away. I reach for my control, counting in my head, but I don't reach four because she hums again. Fuck!
Mr. Viper, you still there?
What the fuck do you want? I snarl, making her giggle. So I yank harder on her hair, taking over as I slam into her mouth again and again.
I have the numbers you were wanting from the new club which you asked for.
He rushes out in a squeak. Club? Oh, right.
It seems like a good investment, but I would like to ensure the owner is capable of paying back the loan, so I was hoping I could look into their information.
He blurts, probably not wanting to annoy me. I am known for being an asshole, and they don't call me a beast beyond my back for nothing. They all fear me. I'm not known for being polite. Biting back my groan, I try to keep my voice even. I agree, let's pursue that. I don't hear his reply because Roxanne does something with her tongue that has me arching into her mouth and growling loudly. I have to go. Get me those numbers. I hang up, throwing my phone away as I glare down at her. She pulls her mouth from my cock and wipes it with one finger, looking smug.
Problem?
Grunting, I grab her and pull her up, freeing my tie as she watches. I jerk her hands behind her back until her chest is arched out and she gasps in pain. I tie them at the base of her spine, kissing her hard and tasting myself on her lips before ripping away and spinning her around. I tear away her knickers, leaving her bare, even though I'm still in my suit, minus the tie, which I will never be able to wear without getting hard again. She laughs as I kick open her legs and force the top of her body down onto the desk.
I wonder if you could concentrate on work now,
she teases breathlessly as I palm my cock and run it down her crack to her soaking pussy. She moans loudly, pushing back to try and take me. So I reach up and wind my hand through her hair, yanking her head up painfully. I could fuck you, making you come again and again and still run this empire, love, I snarl, even as I press the head of my cock to her pussy. When she goes to answer me, no doubt with a teasing remark, I slam into her, making her scream. When I still, she pants, leaning heavily on the desk.
Really? I don't think you could. Poor little rider. His cock taken over.
Behave, I growl, smacking her ass as she moans and clenches around my cock.
Why would I, when your punishments are so good?
She whimpers, pushing back to meet my brutal thrusts. The sound of our skin slapping together loud in this room. My control is shattered to pieces. Slamming into her, I twist my hips as I reach between her legs and flick a slick clit, making her scream my name.
Yes, fuck!
She groans, pushing back harder, taking all of me, her tight cunt, so wet. I grunt again, trying to slow down, to stop the release I can feel building. I want this to last, to see her explode around my cock only when I say so, but she doesn't let me. She pushes back desperately, making me jerk and ram into her with hard, feral thrusts. My phone rings, and it's Garrett, so, grinning, I pick it up, smacking her ass. Quiet, unless you want them to know. I mock, not telling her who it is, as I continue to drive into her with one hand gripping her hip as I answer the call and hold my phone to my ear with the other. I'm almost panting now, but I try to concentrate on what he's saying and not the clinging pussy wrapped around my cock. The way sweat drops down her spine to her bound hands, or how fucking beautiful she looks bent over my desk, taking me like a good girl. Speak! We've covered after this, but Diesel is threatening to burn my balls unless I bring him home to see Roxy, so we're on our way. He sighs. Laughing, I put it on speaker and lay it on her back as I drive into her. Little breathy moans escape her lips as she tries to stay quiet. She's here, is all I say as I reach between her legs again and rub her clit relentlessly. My own release is building, my balls drawing up, pulled from the very base of my spine as I try to hold back. My thrusts stutter, becoming jerky and desperate now. Roxy? Garrett asks. And then I hear a yelp and another voice. No doubt we are on speaker now, even better. Little bird!
heard what mischief are you up to?
Diesel questions. God damn it, me knows, you asshole, Garrett snarls. Granting, I'd bite my fist to stay quiet, but I shouldn't have cared. Because with one last thrust and one flick of my finger, she comes with a scream, her body writhing beneath me, her pussy clenching so tight I can't help but come myself. I spill into her as I still, panting and containing my own yell. She drops to the desk, breathing heavily as I quietly chuckle, still locked in her tight channel. The phone is quiet for a moment until a laugh comes through.
Oh, I see, what mischief. Did you come for him like a good little bird?
Garrett groans. Did you actually just put us on speaker so we could hear her scream? Laughing, I sit back on my chair, pulling her with me, keeping her impaled on my already hardening cock, with the phone held in my other hand as I stroke her trembling side. Yeah, she was being punished, I shrug, making her laugh.
Didn't seem like a punishment to me. Hey, crazy man,
she greets Diesel.
Hey, angry man.
They both laugh.
We won't rush back then. We'll bring in some food, you'll need it,
Diesel offers before they hang up. I toss the phone away then, her slick back pressed to my chest as she wiggles, making us both moan. Gripping her hips, I force her to still as I press my forehead to her sweaty shoulder. Be still. I'm hard, wanting to fuck her again. Christ, will this ever lessen? This fucking desire for her? How can one woman control my emotions so much and force me to lose control with just a smile and a few words?
That was amazing. Ready for round two? She asks,
and lifts herself before dropping down on my cock.
Fuck. Always, I snap, helping her ride me, watching my cock slip in and out of her wet hole, her ass pressed to my hips.
She rolls her hips enticingly, and I reach around and grab one of her breasts, tweaking her nipple and forcing a moan from her throat. That was just your first orgasm. Let's try for three, shall we? I murmur as I stroke down her belly to her clit and flick it again. She comes three more times, twice on my cock and once in my mouth. By the time we're done, we are both boneless and covered in a sheen of sweat. Let's shower before they get back, I suggest, and she sighs, snuggling closer.
I can't walk, so carry me, she demands.
Still ordering me around, princess, I tease.
Still pretending it doesn't work,
she taunts as she nuzzles into my chest. I lift her, and she wraps her legs around my waist as I carry her from my office into my room where we shower together. Only when I'm dressing do I realise I left my phone on the desk. I freeze. Me? Leaving my phone? Unheard of. But as I'm about to go back and get it, she grabs my hand and leads me downstairs to where the others are waiting. I soon forget about it again. It's my first night off. Ever. I like it. Especially with her perched on my knee, sharing my food, a beer in one hand and a smile on my face as Diesel tells his stories for the day, making her laugh along with us. It's nice. It's home.
31. Roxy. It's early when I wake up. I don't know why. Flipping onto my back, I sigh. I'm so used to waking up in the afternoon that even though it's only 10 a.m., I feel like a whole new person. Getting up, I don don a dress, not bothering with shoes, but I do stop as I pass the mirror before going back and adding the earrings and the rings right above me. They look good and cause me to smile as I head outside, already hearing them arguing at the breakfast table. It's a habit now, eating with them, and it's probably why I woke up. How my life has changed. When I sit down, they all give me a smile before doing a double take at the jewelry. Ryder looks smug, Kenzo grins at me softly, Garrett just grunts his approval, and Diesel leans forward. Yes, one of us, one of us, he chants, banging his knife and fork on the table, making me laugh. Oh, you want to see something? He asks me, wiggling his eyebrows. I don't know, do I? If it's your cock, babe, I've seen it. And as nice as it is, I would rather just eat the sausage on my plate, I quip, as I accept the mug from Ryder with a gentle smile at him. His lips quirk up at that, bigger than normal. Maybe that ice is finally cracking. No,
That will be later. Once you see this, you are bound to jump me.
He laughs as he gets to his feet. I look over just in time to see him rip off his shirt.
Dee, your abs are nice, I start, but freeze at the new ink on his chest.
I don't even get distracted by the muscular torso of the crazy man like normal. He stands there proudly, puffing up with that insane smile on his lips, while all I can do is gawk.
There on his chest, right over his art, is a bird. The bird sits on his peck, perched like a coiled viper. They both look so lifelike, I ache to touch them to see if they're real. The bird is standing there so brave and unafraid of the snake, its beak held high, and the snake, it's wrapped around it, not restraining it, keeping it. Me and him. The crazy bastard got a tattoo of us over his heart.
Like it, little bird? He asks, and he suddenly seems nervous.
I glance around and Garrett widens his eyes, jerking his head toward Diesel to prompt me. Swallowing, I look back at Dee and lick my lips.
I'm guessing that's me. And you?
Course, he grins. My little bird right over my heart.
I swallow again. I love it. And I do. It's magnificent. Clearly Garrett's work again, but what does it mean? A small part of me knows, and fear and excitement fill me. Does Diesel love me? To be loved by him would be both dangerous and an adventure. It might kill me, it might consume me, but I would die smiling. Except he can't love me, can he? And is that how he sees me? Standing so strong, capturing them. It's beautiful, I murmur, and he rounds the table, crouching before me.
So are you, little bird.
He winks before leaning in and kissing me hard, not seeming to realize I'm frozen. He pulls back, looking way too happy.
I told you you're ours, little bird, and you're never getting away from us. This is just to show people. You wear our marks, we wear yours.
My eyes widen at that. Did everyone else get this too? The thought overwhelms me.
Just D,
Garrett comments, like he knows my thoughts and I deflate. Thank fuck. D is crazy, and his emotions are different than everyone else's. He wants me, he takes me. He loves me and hurts me. It's simple for him. For the others, to get it would be another reason why, and I don't know if I'm ready for that. But Diesel. It doesn't matter if I don't say it back or if I'm unsure how I feel. He knows. He always does. He kisses me again, and this time I return it. He laughs, happy as he returns to his seat, but I'm quiet the whole meal. I can feel Ryder's eyes on me the entire time. Is this my life now? Falling in love with the vipers? Lust and accepting my new life is one thing, but can I really love them? We started out rough, and part of me still hates them. Somewhere along the line, did the hate use really start to mean something else? I don't know, and that scares me. Ryder is terrified I'll destroy his family. What if he's right? But what if I don't? What if I find happiness here? I suck in a breath, deciding I have to try. I might be afraid to love someone, more than someone, but I don't want to give this up yet, so I won't let them know just how hard it is for me to love, or how messed up I am that when people say they love me, I wait for the pain to come. Because it always does. Those who love us have the opportunity to hurt us the worst, and in my experience, they always do. After breakfast, I rush to my room to have a moment to myself. I end up falling asleep, and when I wake up, I feel better. I can't let this freak me out. I can hide away, cut this off, and let it control me, and maybe lose the guys. The best thing that ever happened to me. Or I keep living despite the fear, and keep accepting them. I know my choice, so I put on my war paint, feeling better, stronger, with my makeup on. My eyes are lined and dark, my lips are a deep red like blood, and I add the necklace they bought me, the choker, before slipping into another dress. It's a black one with lace sleeves that gape. It's a bit dressy, clinging to my body, but it makes me feel good. Lastly, I do my hair, straightening it. My head out, but only Kenzo is there, his hair slicked back, wearing a white shirt with the sleeves rolled back to expose his thick forearms, a grey waistcoat and trousers. He looks amazing. When he looks up with a soft smile and sees me, his mouth falls open, making me feel sexy. So I strut over to him and, being brave, straddle his lap. His tablet falls to the side, forgotten, as he grips my ass and drags me closer. "You look good enough to eat, darling," he growls. "That a promise?" I grin down at him, slicking my hand through his hair so some of it falls to the side. He groans. "I wish. I have to go soon." "Where to?" I ask, feeling his hard cock pressing against me. His eyes are dark with lust. "A game," he murmurs. "There is someone who will be playing that I need information on." "About the hits?" I press. He shakes his head. "About the leak. An old player of mine, someone who used to run bets for me." I perk up. "Can I go?" "You want to go?" he queries slowly, and I snort. "Hell yes. I'm bored as fuck. Let me help. Plus, booze, gambling, and you. Sounds like fun." He groans, licking his lips. "That's ridiculously hot." He runs his eyes down my body, making me shiver. "You can come, but just know that your dress will be on my floor before the end of the night. You're my winnings." Leaning down, I kiss him softly. "Promises, promises," I murmur, as I get up and saunter away, stopping at the door to glance back at him. His eyes are closed, lips pursed. "Coming?" He scrambles to his feet, smirking at me as he straightens his waistcoat and grabs his phone before pocketing it. His hand twists his dice as he heads over, draping an arm around my shoulder. "Can't wait, darling." We head downstairs, his hand stroking down my back to my ass in the elevator. I grin as the door opens and he guides me out, under his arm and over to a red Ferrari. He opens the door and I slip in, watching as he rounds the hood and slides into the driver's seat. He winks over at me. "Hold on," he warns, and the engine revs as he peels from the spot. I scream in ecstasy as we break free of the building and race out into the streets. It's getting dark now, the city coming to life as he weaves through traffic. We leave the city and head onto an open stretch of road. With one hand on the wheel, the other on the stick shift, he speeds up before reaching over and laying his hand on my bare thigh, squeezing it as he drives. My hair blows back, my heart hammers from the speed, and a grin curves my lips. This is amazing. I open my legs farther for him, and his hand slips higher, stopping when his thumb brushes my pussy, just staying there as he steers. The way he handles the machine and how fast we are going, still climbing, turns me on. Why is that so hot? It takes barely any time before we turn and head down a private driveway on the wealthiest side of town. "Why don't you guys have a house here?" I ask. "We do. We hate it." He grins over at me as we pull up at a black ornate fence with a crest on the front. "We hate rich people, stuffy bastards." "You are a rich person," I laugh. "True, and aren't I a stuffy bastard?" The gate cranks open, and he speeds through it, driving down a lit cobbled lane to a circular driveway with a fountain in the middle, situated before a giant mansion. He pulls up right outside the door and throws his keys at the valet there as he gets out, rounding to open my door for me. He offers me his hand and I accept it, then he helps me up and wraps his arm around my waist as we head up the steps to the entrance. The door is open for us. Music pours out, and when we step inside, my mouth almost drops. Fuck. This is how the other half lives. Chandeliers hang everywhere, with old-style gold-framed art hanging on every wall alongside family portraits. Two curving staircases lead up to the first floor from the lobby we're in. Music and laughter and the clinking of glasses reaches us. Women walk around in tight dresses and jewels, decked to the nines on the arms of men in suits. It all screams money, and I'm sure is shit out of place. But Kenzo doesn't care. He leans down to murmur, "Fake it, baby. They all are. All of them hiding their own dark little secrets. See the one with the mustache?" I nod as the man in question walks past.
He's sleeping with his stepdaughter, the one laughing in the giant group of rich douches. He's going broke. It's all a game, darling. A dangerous one, but a game nonetheless. Here they use words, not fists, but it's still the same. You know how to play, so do I. They aren't better than us. No, they are nothing. Just pawns, all wanting power and money, doing anything for it. He kisses my neck and straightens as a man heads over to greet us. He doesn't even look at me as he shakes Kenzo's hand.
Good to see you. You owe me a hand later to try and earn back my money.
He feigns a laugh.
Of course.
Kenzo grins, but it's a mask. I can see it.
Please allow me to introduce my date, Roxy.
The man finally looks at me, running his eyes up and down my body, his own beady ones heating.
Nice to meet you, Roxy,
he greets, taking my hand and kissing the back of it. I wish I could say the same, but since you didn't introduce yourself before staring at my breasts, I can't exactly meet you, can I? I smack. He laughs and seems more interested now, perking up like he himself was playing a game.
Of course not. I apologize. I am used to the dumb arm candy who only care about the color of your credit card. I am Stefan. It is a pleasure, Roxy.
He nods, seeming respectful now.
Sorry, but we have others to meet, money to take,
Kenzo remarks and pulls me away with Stefan watching after us.
Charming men already, darling, he murmurs to me. Be careful, baby. They are all snakes here.
None as much as you, I offer, looking up at him as we stop in a doorway. And yet I am on your arm, asshole.
You love it.
He winks as two drinks are delivered to us. He passes me the scotch and downs the champagne before passing it back to the server.
Another scotch for me.
I almost laugh that he knew I wouldn't drink that bubbly shit as I sip the drink, letting the warmth wash through me as I survey the room. Tables are set up around the space, like a casino, but in a mansion, and there is a bar and tables. It's impressive, and filled with the city's rich and powerful, all gambling their money away. The same money they steal from the poor. Who runs this? You?
No, the gentleman we are here to see. He is past city limits, which is why I don't own him. Plus, he's an old acquaintance.
Kenzo answers quietly, smiling and nodding to people as they pass. Not a friend? I inquire, scanning the crowd.
I don't have friends, darling. I have brothers and you.
He offers distractedly, before pulling me through the crowd.
There he is. Don't hold back on my account. These rich pricks could do with your attitude, baby. So shake them up and call them on their shit. Fuck knows I do.
Yet they love you, I comment, as I see them all greeting him.
They love my money and the power I hold. They don't know how to take you, but you're with me. So they will laugh with you, and they won't fight back. Do as you wish. Be as mean as you want. Be you.
Well, he gave me permission. He will regret that. We stop at a full table, and suddenly a seat becomes available at his presence. Kenzo sits and pulls me into his lap. There are four men, the dealer, a female in a short cocktail dress.
Danny?
Kenzo nods at the man opposite us. He's a ginger with a thick beard, piercing blue eyes, and pale skin in a half-unbuttoned shirt. He looks menacing as he watches us.
Kenzo, don't remember inviting you.
When does that ever stop me? He laughs as he squeezes me tighter. Danny's eyes go to me, taking me in and flicking away in disinterest. Fucker. I don't know, baby. He looks like nothing to me, I remark, leaning into Kenzo, who kisses my shoulder, his hand stroking my thigh under the table as he accepts his cards. Danny looks back at me, his eyes alight with annoyance, nostrils flaring.
What did you say, girl?
I'm a woman, not a girl, I retort, and then turn away, ignoring him. I don't think he's the one we need. Danny narrows his eyes on me. I can feel it as I caress Kenzo's shoulder while he plays a hand.
We can find someone else. The money is good enough.
Kenzo smirks when he wins and a new hand is dealt. Another man at the table glares at me, and I glare back.
Problem, asshole?
Need a Viagra to get it up, or just a flash of my tits? He recoils in shock, and I laugh. Don't worry. Your wife won't care. She'll be just as disgusted in her pearls as you are to have your boring-ass vanilla sex while dust escapes your old bones.
He sputters, and Kenzo laughs, but doesn't stop me. I look around at the other man. He's middle-aged and a little chubby. Let me guess. Daddy's money. You spend it on oars, which is why you're scratching your balls. Too many STIs, am I right? Danny laughs loudly as the other two leave the table. It's just Kenzo and him now.
I like her. Where did you find her?
Nowhere you would go. Kenzo smirks as he lays down his cards and takes his winnings, making Danny swear as they deal another hand.
I need information. Nice for you, Danny snorts.
He's a pussy, I laugh. Would rather play with cards than real money. Kenzo slips his hand higher, uncaring about the others, and cups my pussy. I groan into his ear as I nip the lobe, his focus on his cards and winning, even as he caresses me, and I let him. My pussy pulses and aches, wanting him. Seeing this side of him, the control, the power, it's doing things to me. I'm wet as hell. He must feel it, because he groans, making me grin as I lick his ear again. I'm imagining you fucking me in front of all these old rich bastards and showing them what being alive is really like, I purr into his ear. He swears and loses the next hand, which causes Danny to laugh.
Info, you say. Fine, what you want?
But Kenzo stands, pulling me with him.
Later, he barks.
He drags me up, and gripping my hand, winks at Danny, making me wonder what he's playing at, but he drags me from the room, seeming desperate. He ignores everyone who's trying to speak to him, his eyes darting around until he yanks open a door and pushes me inside. I go flying into the wall, grunting. It's a cleaning cupboard. I turn to watch him as he shuts the door and flicks the lock before he turns to me. His eyes are dark and hungry.
I'm going to fuck you, darling. Better scream loudly so they can hear you, and you can really shock these old rich bastards.
He smirks as he steps closer.
You shouldn't tease me, darling.
Who said I was teasing? I grin, grabbing my dress and pulling it higher, exposing my knickers. Well, are you going to fuck me? He undoes his belt and pulls down his zipper as his eyes run over me. Then he moves fast. Too much pent-up desire, too much need. Last time I fought him, but this time I don't. I want this. Him. I want his cock inside me, in the mansion surrounded by the rich fuckers I always hated. I want them to hear what he does to me, to know they might own money and people, but they will never have what we do. Realness. Raw fucking desire and need. Another person. He slams me into the wall and hoists me up.
This is going to be hard and fast, you fucking tease.
I groan, tilting my head back as he pushes my underwear aside, lines up with my wet pussy and slams into me. I scream then, from pain but also pleasure. He doesn't stop. He pulls back and thrusts into me as I wrap my legs around his waist. The door handle jiggles and I laugh and he chuckles.
Busy fucking my girl. Be out soon, he calls, before slamming into me again.
They probably had a heart attack, I groan, my eyes slipping closed.
Probably. Wouldn't that be great?
He mutters as he licks down the valley of my breasts. I dig my heels into his ass, urging him on. His hand presses to the wall, the other on my hip as he fucks me. He groans my name. The way he said it, the syllables rolling from his lips while his thick cock drives into me, spearing me, sends a spike of desire through me. He's panting, our hearts hammering in unison as he shoves me into the wall from the force of his thrusts. Hands digging into his shoulder, I yank him closer, my release rushing through, drawn by his hands and cock. He bites down on my chest and I scream my release. It rushes through me while I shake and shiver, and he grunts into my chest as I feel his release fill me. Holy fuck. Both of us are breathing heavily as we lean against the wall, my legs weak and still wrapped around him. He lifts his head, his eyes dark and smirking.
Wonder if they heard that, or do we need to go again?
I don't know, I say breathlessly. Maybe again? He grins wickedly and pulls from my clinging body. My legs hit the floor. They are weak and almost buckle, but then he's there, holding me up with a hand around my waist as he kneels at my feet, his face burying in my pussy. Moaning, I throw one leg over his shoulder, but he grabs the other and tosses it there too, lifting me effortlessly as he laps at my clit, uncaring about his release slipping from me. He licks me from top to bottom, dipping into my pussy before focusing on my pierced clit, playing with it, tasting me. I force myself closer, almost suffocating him with my pussy as my thighs clamp around him. He doesn't care. His hands grip me tighter, like he can't get enough of me. His tongue expertly presses and licks where I need him to. The door handle rattles again, but we both ignore it. Yes, I groan, my head dropping back. Kenzo, please, I beg. I need to come again so badly my stomach clenches as lava flows through my veins from his talented mouth. He groans against my pussy, the sound vibrating through me as he tugs on my piercing. God, yes, I yell, dragging him closer, reaching down to grip his hair as I roll my hips, desperately fucking his mouth. It's building. I can feel it. I'm so close to the edge that when he yanks on my piercing again, it sends me over with a scream. He licks me through it with gentle, lapping strokes against my oversensitive clit as I pant and relax into the wall, my stomach still clenching and my thighs shaking around him. He helps me stand, lowering my feet to the floor. He's still kneeling, his chin and mouth covered in my release as he smirks up at me. Open the door, you fucking prick. I got that info for you, Danny yells, as Kenzo wipes his mouth and with a wink at me, stuffs himself back into his trousers, does himself up, and checks that I'm okay before opening the door. You all right, mate? Need something? Kenzo questions, blocking Danny's view of me as I straighten myself and steady my breathing. You want to know who betrayed you, right? Danny snaps, voice low. Did I? I don't know, Kenzo grins. Shut the fuck up. You know I couldn't talk out there. Going to let me in? He barges past Kenzo, rolling his eyes at me. It stinks of sex in here. Does it? I grin. Must have been the card game. Really got me going, I wink. Kenzo shuts the door, leaning against it, and grins over at me. What can I say? I can't help myself around her. Yeah, I don't fucking care about you getting your dick wet. I can't be seen talking to you, they will kill me. You want the info or not? Danny snarls, spinning away from me to stare at Kenzo's face, which has darkened and turned serious. What do you know? Kenzo demands. Enough to know being your friend is dangerous right now. Even the rich pricks here know it, but they fear you more. Someone knows everything, man, and it ain't an employee. They know details no one else does. It's outdated, but it's there. Danny grumbles. If I were you, I would look at your past and stay low. Why? Kenzo demands. Because there's a hit coming, and I don't think you will survive it. If you do, we'll play again. Maybe bring your girl so I can win some more. Danny nods, and Kenzo nods back with a calm smile. Thanks, man. Kenzo lets him out and shuts the door. That's it? You are very calm,